ESPNWisconsin.com.
We'll be back with more at Summerfest coming up on 94.5 ESPN. We're the home of Catholic Memorial Football. 94.5 ESPN is WKTI and WKTI-HD Milwaukee, a locally owned Good Karma brand station.
A wide array of great opportunities abound at Waste Management.
When I started here almost 10 years ago, I didn't know the different roles and different positions and things that we had in the company. Benefits for Waste Management are amazing. I have had two kids. For me to be able to go on maternity leave, it is paid and be home with my kids. That's a big thing a lot of companies don't have. And obviously for working moms, that's a big deal. It's people first. It's about our families and our work-life balance.
Join the Waste Management family. Just search online, Waste Management Careers.
Erectile dysfunction. Most guys don't talk about it, but secretly want a solution, a discreet solution that is effective and painless. Meet with someone in confidence at Peak Performance for Men. Their revolutionary natural pain-free technology stimulates stem cells, which has led to a success rate of 80%. Achieve your peak performance by calling Peak Performance for Men today. 414-295-8181. That's 414-295-8181. Or visit peakperformanceformen.com.
Feeling inspired by all the renovation shows on TV? Wish you could repair, renovate, or just refresh your home? Hi, it's John Reitz from Great Midwest Bank, and our team of experienced loan officers can help you turn those fixer-upper ideas into reality with a stress-free renovation loan. Since 1935, Great Midwest Bank has been helping Southeast Wisconsin families buy, build, renovate, and refinance their dream homes. Get started today at greatmidwestbank.com. Great Midwest Bank, your simply local equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller at Tito's Handmade Vodka, here today to remind you that it doesn't make you a bad person. I say it all the time about all kinds of things, so much so that it's become a motto of sorts around here. Did you plant a garden just to grow enough mint to muddle your mojito? It doesn't make you a bad person. You do you, and we won't judge. Tito's Handmade Vodka can be part of a balanced life, and it's 100% gluten-free, so it's easy to stay on track and make fresh, simple cocktails. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas. Tito'sVodka.com.
It's been a 50-year journey. Wisconsin, we've got a room at the top of the world tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's Sports Zone at Summerfest.
We did it, huh?
This is a special Buck show.
To be able to actually do it and see the confetti and do it, my brothers, man, there's nothing like it.
With Pratik Patel, Nolan Murphy, and Eric Name.
A special Buck show from Summerfest, live from the Gruber Law Office Sports Zone, the ESPN Milwaukee trailer, front and center, right next to the lakefront. I am Pratik Patel. That is Eric Name of The Athletic, and that is Nolan Murphy. We are talking. It's 2 hours of Bucks. We spent the first hour celebrating, reminiscing. Want to take the next hour to look ahead, the season to come, what the expectations are, which I think are pretty straightforward, and what happens if they're not met. But we mentioned it a couple times in that first hour. Mike Budenholzer does get the extension. And, Eric, I really want to know what Mike Budenholzer was like during that title run. Because, obviously, for the fans, for people watching, it was a roller coaster. There were ups and downs. They were down 0-2 to the Nets at one point. They're down 0-2 to the Suns in the finals. And all in all, it comes out they win a title. But Mike Budenholzer, I mean, you and I have talked several times in the last couple months, and you saw him out about town. He was going for walks, big public market guy. But what was he like? What was his demeanor like? And what kind of impact did that have on the team?
Lobster roll.
Wait, is he a lobster roll guy?
Yeah, from St. Paul's in the public market.
Like, of course he is.
Yeah, night before game six. I was out for drinks with some people from The Athletic, and I was like, Bud? And I, like, texted him, and I joked with him that he's going to go get a cookie because he likes the cookies at the bakery in the public market.
Very good. Very good. I'm hungry now. So
and then he very quickly, like, looked at his phone, saw me, and just yelled, lobster roll! And I was like, good on you, bud. Like, knowing the Milwaukee traditions.
This is the night before game six. He's just out. He's loose, having a good time.
Getting a lobster roll. Why not? Like, if you're going to try to eat well. So I appreciate that, but... So with Bud, it's annoying. Like, you just ask questions of Bud, and it's, you know, we're going to get better. We're going to look at the film. We're going to improve day by day. That And to the Bucks' credit, that has always been their motto under Bud, is we're going to get better every single day. That's our goal, is we're going to come into the gym, we're going to get better every day. And that was obnoxious during their first season when they were winning 60 games, and you're talking about, oh, you guys just clinched the one seed. What does that
right.
mean? You clinch home court advantage, and Eric, you know, we're just trying to get better one day at a time. All right, cool, man. Thanks for the quote. I appreciate it. And that has been his demeanor all the way through. Like, that's just who Mike Budenholzer is. And, you know, like I said when Craig joined us two segments ago, like, it's really annoying, right? Like, to not have someone that will go through the ups and downs and not, you know, show that emotion. But there's part of that that makes a good coach. Like, freaking out and doing different things is at times a sign of a bad coach. Maybe sometimes you do need to make drastic adjustments, but Bud is a believer in what he does. He's a believer in what the team does, and he's a believer in all of the systems that they have put in place, and you can see why. Like, they won a championship doing those things because he was so calm, he was so cool, and he was so collected.
And I was super critical of Bud.
Well, a lot of it was deserved.
Yeah, you can go on Twitter at the Noel Murphy, and I wanted Bud fired for weeks. And I said if we didn't go to the NBA Finals, I wanted Bud fired. I even went to the length of saying if we didn't get out of the Nets series, I thought he was done. And there's a lot of rumors out there. And Mark Lazary even said earlier this week, you know, it came out on The Athletic, but it was part of your guys' podcast, that, you know, he walked into that locker room when they were down 0-2, and what the bleep is going on? Like,
right.
That's basically, you know, what he said, and I owe Bud an apology. I was an idiot, and maybe, Eric, to your point, the consistency of Bud not overreacting is what this team and what this locker room needed when you have someone like Giannis that is so emotional on the court and wants to be in there all the time, and then you have someone the exact other end of the spectrum in Chris Middleton who shows no emotion.
Right.
And then, you know, whatever, you got Bobby Portis, you got PJ Tucker out and about. Maybe you just need that, like, guy that puts two hands on the steering wheel and gets you through games.
And, well, and to be clear, Bud did make some adjustments this postseason.
Right.
And obviously there is a level of, you know, steady-headedness that got the Bucks through where they needed to go. But at the same time, last year, the year before, Bud would only play their guys 35 minutes in the postseason. And every single time, the series would end, the first question I would get to ask, because I'd be given the microphone first, was, why didn't Giannis play more? And Bud would say, you know, Eric, we believe in what we believe in. This is what we like to do. This is how we do things. We want to make sure that Giannis is at peak performance. All this stuff. That was what he would say. And I would just say, okay, that's cool. But also, you could have played him 44 minutes. That would have been great. And this year, he did. And there were times where I would ask in the past, why was Giannis not on Jimmy Butler? Did Giannis not ask to cover Jimmy Butler? Giannis, did you cover? Like, did you ask to cover Jimmy Butler? And they'd all say, hey, you know what our system is. You know how we do things. Lo and behold, game one, who's covering Jimmy Butler? Oh, look, there's Giannis. During the Nets series, who's covering Kevin Durant sometimes? Oh, look, there's Giannis. So those changes were made. There were actual adjustments made. And again, there will be segments of Bucks Twitter that will want to claim that our constant complaints and our Firebud avatars are the reason why he made those adjustments, and that would be very far from the truth. He just made the adjustments because he realized it was time to make the adjustments. And oh, by the way, as you mentioned, he would have been fired if they lost in the second round to the Brooklyn Nets, so his job was on the line, so he made some adjustments.
The parallels between the Milwaukee Bucks franchise of the last 30-40 years and Coach Bud's coaching career are just so similar, because Bud is this guy that's a regular season coach. He really doesn't have any success in the playoffs other than taking the Bucks a couple years ago to the Eastern Conference Finals. He did that with the Hawks. They got blown out of the water by LeBron James.
They just kept running into LeBron every year.
Yep. So, and the Bucks are this team, you know, with Giannis, that they can't win in the playoffs. And before that, they're this middling eight seed.
They're just happy to make the playoffs.
Happy
yeah.
to be there. And so I think it was very fulfilling to Coach Bud to quiet the haters. To quiet the haters, and I was one of them for a long time. I wanted a different coach. I wanted Taylor Jenkins back, you know, from the Memphis Grizzlies, who we let go. I wanted anything other than Coach Bud. But hats off to him, and that's why we're celebrating the Milwaukee Bucks today, because of him. He is just as important, almost, as the big three, Giannis, Drew, and Chris Middleton. Because what he did to, off the court, probably in that locker room, to be a chemist and get everything in the right place, mm-hmm. and probably telling, you know, general manager John Horst, yeah, let's bring PJ Tucker in. Yes, is he, you know, really enthusiastic and probably grinds down on people? Sure. but he was probably that thing they needed to do to become a championship team.
Yeah, and, you know, we mentioned the calming presence and that even-keeled demeanor that Bud brings to the table. And, you know, the moment I think to where that was most present was after Game 2 against the Nets. The Bucks had just been blown out. They get wrecked. It's, you know, 40-point loss or whatever. And every player after that game, and Bud, almost like they were reading a script, it was like, hey, it doesn't matter if we lost by 40 or by 2. Like, it's, you know, it's still just one game. Like, we got to come out and be better. We're going home. And it was almost scripted. That was very clearly like, okay, that's Bud's impact, right? Like, that is one of the clear impacts that he had was, because, hey, yeah, Chris is a calming presence, but I don't know how much that permeates to other people, you know? Chris is calm because he can stay calm, and he's cool and collected at all times. I don't know how much he's doing that for other people. Bud is having to do that, you know? He's having to go in there and make sure everyone, like, stays focused. Like, hey, yeah, if you feel shame because we just got blown out, then, like, cool, whatever. That doesn't matter going into the next game.
And I thought one other thing that was really impressive, and I tried to get at it during the finals, but, I mean, in the moment, no one's really going to talk about it, is, you know, they typically weren't playing their best basketball at the start of a series. That just wasn't what they were doing. Obviously, they won Game 1 against the Heat, but it was ugly.
Yeah, every series was like that.
That was ugly, but then you lose Game 1 to the Nets, you lose Game 1 to the Hawks, you lose Game 1 to the Suns, and that was one thing I kept trying to, like, hone in on as the series went on, and, you know, no one was going to reveal any secrets to me, but I did think, to their credit, they would come out with a game plan in Game 1. They would stick pretty close to it. If they thought they could win in the fourth quarter, maybe they would change some things up. But, like, hey, this is what we think is going to work against this team. Let's try it. Okay, that didn't work. Let's make some adjustments. Like, let's try something new in Game 2, in Game 3. And then if we stumble on something that works, let's stick with that. Like, I think a lot of credit needs to be given to them for, you know, there's some coaches that in Game 1, you throw everything at the wall, right? Let's see what's going to stick and is going to be our strategy for the entirety of the series. The Bucks didn't do that. They would try something that they thought might work. That didn't work. All right, let's move on to something new. You're not giving away any of the other stuff you might try in the future games, and you're making adjustments and you're getting better. And that's all Bud doing the things that he believed in and finding a way.
The gamesmanship of Bud might be underrated in terms of, all right, let's go out with this game plan. And I was super critical of him in the end of the regular season when the Bucks hosted the Nets at Fiserv Forum in those two games. You know, it seemed like that the Bucks threw everything they had at the Nets to try to get that number one seed there. And, you know, the standings ended up, it didn't work out that way because the Sixers were involved. But I felt like, oh no, like, we just showed all of our cards. And, you know, Steve Nash and the Brooklyn Nets, they got a lot of tricks up their sleeves. And as we see another Milwaukee Bucks championship gear walk past us at Summerfest, live from the Gruber Law Sports Zone, Eric Name from The Athletic, Pratik Patel and Nolan Murphy with you till 2. Walk on by us with Bucks gear. But I was really scared that, all right, we got nothing left to show. When we come up head-to-head against the Brooklyn Nets, we are screwed. But you know, Bud and the Bucks, they proved a lot of us wrong, I think, in this city, in the NBA, and across the state of Wisconsin.
Well, it's so funny to think about those two Nets games near the end of the regular season, because, you know, we took it as something that was going to be predictive because everyone was playing for the most part, and then it was like, wait, that series looked nothing like those two games. DeAndre Jordan was guarding Giannis.
Right.
We didn't see him at all in the series.
The only thing that came to fruition was that Blake Griffin was going to be involved. That was kind of when Blake got his legs under
just, like,
him.
He showed up. He was, like, dunking again for the first time.
I know. I was scared. I'm like, are we getting, like, 2011 Blake Griffin? We are screwed.
Because he just got out of Siberia and, like, maybe he just wanted to start trying again.
He spent 5 years in Detroit and then went to Germany and, you know, had some things done with his knees. He's feeling a lot better. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, congrats to Coach Bud. He is here for the foreseeable future in Milwaukee. Something I never expected, but maybe the coach we needed.
A special Bucks show from Summerfest. Again, that's Eric Name of The Athletic, Nolan Murphy, Pratik Patel here with you until 2. Live at Summerfest from the Gruber Law Offices of Sports Zone. I've been at Summerfest for, I believe, 3 straight days now. I was not here Wednesday night, but I've been here every day since. So I'm 3 for 4 on
so
Summerfest
you've
days.
You've got to come back next week then. Could you come every day to Summerfest?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I, like, you know.
Physically?
Like,
you know,
yeah, I don't know if I got that in me.
Yeah,
I'm washed, man. Like, I'm, I just turned 31. It's over. I don't know that I got that in me. But I've been excited. I was, we have a... We have like a lineup schedule here on the table in front of us from the ESPN Milwaukee trailer. And I was looking over as we were coming back from break to see who was headlining tonight. And Nolan is trying to give me like hand signals, and he's giving me a 2 and a 1. And I'm like, 21 Savage is here?
What? 21 Pilots. I should have went 2-1 and then just like an airplane. That would have been amazing. I mean, I'm just looking ahead to the schedule. Thursday, the 16th of September, there's a good chance you will see me at the Generac stage for Diplo at 10 p.m. I mean,
okay.
Diplo
okay.
in Milwaukee,
yeah.
right on Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Probably hoodie weather that night, shorts,
yeah.
maybe jeans, but Diplo.
That's
you know,
a vibe.
That's a vibe, right, Eric?
For sure.
I mean, definitely crushing some Miller Lights, I would assume,
yeah.
on a Wednesday night or a Thursday. Why
yeah.
not?
Yep, 21 Pilots headlining tonight. I saw Leon Bridges last night. He was unbelievable. T-Pain was the night before. We've got our setup here right by the lakefront, our sister station, 620 News Radio WTMJ is right next to us. By the South Gate, we have 101.7 The Truth, Milwaukee's Black Talk Station. They're set up there giving away tickets basically every day. You could go yeah. by there, spin a wheel, and win Charlie Wilson tickets right now if you went over there. And so a lot to see here at Summerfest. We are here till 2. Eric Name of the Athletic. I'm Pratik Patel. Nolan Murphy with us as well. A special Buck Show from the Summerfest continues on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, WisconsinOnDemand.com, and the Wisconsin On Demand app.
Has to go. 2 seconds. Jump hook. Good! Giannis to 49 points. Bucks have an 8-point lead. A jump hook from the dotted line.
Live from Summerfest, this is a special Buck Show from Summerfest. We are at the Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone in the ESPN Milwaukee trailer. We will be here till 2 o'clock. I am Pratik Patel, Eric Name of the Athletic, Nolan Murphy. We've got you till 2 talking all things Bucks. We spent some time in the first hour celebrating a championship run, a magical summer for the city of Milwaukee, the state of Wisconsin, and the Bucks as a whole. We've talked about what they did in the offseason, the additions, the loss of P.J. Tucker. I mean, we didn't really spend much time on Grayson Allen, but, you know, maybe we get
hey,
to that
I love
later,
Grayson man. Allen. I know he is probably the biggest.
I didn't realize we were suppressing your I, Grayson
there's a
Allen
Badger
love.
Fan walking right past us right now. They're down 7-0 to Penn State right now. Badger
fans. 7-7.
7-7 now. Love it. Badger fans hate Grayson Allen. I think he's a great addition to the Bucks, but no one really cares.
I think from a basketball standpoint, he makes a lot of sense for this team. But, yes, I understand the general vitriol in this market for Grayson Allen, you know, from his college days. And I guess, you know, even his NBA days, he doesn't do anything that anyone likes.
No, he's not particularly likable. But now that he's on the Bucks, maybe he is likable. Maybe that flips around because that's what typically happens with guys you don't like once they're on your team. And, oh, by the way, they're good. And maybe he starts at the start of the season if Dante DiVincenzo's out. I think Bucks fans will come to like him in a hurry because he shoots 40% from three. He's a good defender, and he does a lot of things that they need.
He's coming off of a really good season in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Dante. What is the latest as far as you know? Do we know anything in terms of a timeline? He hurts his foot in the first series of the playoffs against Miami, and we've never heard from him since.
Is he in the scooter still?
Successful surgery. If you follow Buck's social media, there was a picture of Dante back in the gym. A number of the guys have gotten back into the gym as well. He was not scootering. I don't know if that was because the scooter was craftily cropped out of the photo or if there is no more scooter for Dante, but he is on the road to recovery. But no, there's not a solid timeline yet on Dante DiVincenzo. And honestly, I don't know if that's something the Bucks will actually ever feel compelled to tell people, right? Like,
right.
Until you know, John Horst is sitting there publicly being asked, like, hey, when is Dante coming back? Then maybe you get that answer. But I think until that moment, I don't know if we're going to hear anything about Dante DiVincenzo.
And that's a training camp potential thing at the end of the month, correct, Eric?
Yeah. So training camp starts on the 27th. Typically, you'll start with media day on that day, get all the players. You also get ownership. You'll get the GM. You'll get the coach. So that would be kind of – I would expect that's when we're going to get an update. But also maybe it won't be, and they'll keep it vague because sometimes teams like to do that.
Any other real surprises – that you foresee when we enter training camp? Maybe someone not showing up on time, a lingering injury, maybe them watching Middleton and Drew's minutes because of a longer summer with the Olympics added on?
I mean, I think that's the big thing, how you try to handle that. I think there's been, you know, some happiness around the organization. I've heard that Giannis actually took some days off, which is
weird.
Not something he normally does. So I've heard that the organization is quite pleased that he managed to actually not work out and not hit the gym, because he really struggles with that. And in the past, that's given him some knee problems. So they're happy about that. I think Drew and Chris are going to be really interesting to watch. The league, I mean, the tough part is, like, the league has been very anti-resting, very, like, anti-load management. And if you're the Bucks, you know, there's probably an idea that, like, hey, we're going to rest Chris and Drew because they played way too long and we need them to get some rest. But NBA rules would not allow that. So, you know, how do you kind of try to do that artfully? Is there a way to do so artfully? Or is it just a matter of, all right, let's get the season started. 2 weeks in, all of a sudden there's a hammy or a thigh.
Knee soreness,
whatever it may be. And then all of a sudden Chris gets 2 weeks, Drew gets 2 weeks, and you're back to business.
What NBA player doesn't have knee soreness or foot soreness at this point? I mean, they've been playing thousands of hours of basketball for their entire
life. What NBA beat writer doesn't have knee soreness or ankle soreness? I get off a flight, I got a knee soreness. You could sit me up for that. So
yeah, you're on different flights than they are, but media starts with me. I do want to get to this upcoming season and looking forward. We talked about some of the additions and the subtractions, and maybe we get to the middle of the season and Dante is a welcome addition, and it feels like you brought in someone new. But looking at this season, they're coming off of a title. I think the worry for a lot of fans, especially in small markets who end up winning, is that, okay, are we complacent, right? All right, are we happy? Are we going to be happy with this one title forever? Are we going to be the fans who go back to calling for Bud's job in 2 years when they haven't won again? But when you look at this upcoming season, is there a way that this season can be successful in your eyes if it doesn't end in a title?
Oh, man, successful is an interesting word. No. No season is successful when you are a contending team without a championship. So it would not be successful. But, like, do I think it's, like, the worst thing that would ever happen to the Milwaukee Bucks? No. Like, you could have a good season. Maybe you bow out to the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals. They're a great basketball team. Maybe that's the way it goes down. But in the end, that's going to be a disappointment, because this is kind of what we've seen from the Bucks under John Horst and Mike Budenholzer, is they talked about when Bud came in, you want to give yourself a chance every year. We want to be in the conversation. And the NBA has shown, if you're in the conversation, weird things can happen. Maybe Klay Thompson messes up his leg in the NBA Finals and you get a ring that maybe you deserved, maybe you didn't, who knows?
Ring.
Maybe a bubble happens and all of a sudden Anthony Davis shoots 55% from the three-point line. That can happen. That's just how these things work. So the only way for you to get a ring in those situations, though, is to be in the conversation. And that, I think, is the big thing with this Bucks team, is that over and over again, they've kind of wanted to prove, like, let's just be in the conversation. And I think that's, for it to truly be a failure this year, and obviously you use the word successful, so not winning would not be successful, but for it to be a failure is, like, if you're not in the conversation. But as long as you put yourself in the top three in the Eastern Conference, you give yourself a chance, I don't know that you can really be all that upset as a fan.
For years, the Bucks just wanted to be invited to the wedding, and now we're actually in the bridal party, and I am fine with that. I'm fine standing up next to the bride and groom. I think for the Bucks fans that we welcomed onto the bandwagon earlier this summer, we wanted everybody on the bandwagon. I mean, Gabe Neitzel, you can hear him, you know, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He was like, come on the bandwagon, let's go. And I'm totally for that. But I think for the newer Bucks fans out there that have just joined our great crew, they may be like, oh, I thought this team just won championships. You know, like, that's what LeBron does. He just goes to 8 straight finals.
Right.
That might not happen, but I do think we are in the conversation. It's, I know, Eric, you said earlier it's the Nets and the Bucks. I still got to throw LeBron James in that conversation. Sure. I think it is three teams in one tier, and then it's a lot of other potential contenders and then playoff teams. But I will be happy being in the bridal party in this scenario and not being just at the wedding, which we were for 30 years growing up as Bucks fans.
And I think Giannis has kind of proven that at this point, that if you have him on your team, that's just going to be how it is. And obviously people will point to the bubble, and then Giannis will conversely point to the bubble and say, that was not basketball. That was a totally different experiment. If we're playing actual basketball in actual arenas and traveling and doing all the things that we do, look at me in the Eastern Conference Finals and look at me in the NBA Finals. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and, you know, not to relitigate the bubble, but that was the most we needed to, like, think of these players as humans.
Right.
Because you think about the Bucks specifically, and, like, Giannis had just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And was not able to be around said baby. And, you know, you, and that's all before you even talk about what happened in Kenosha and then the Bucks launching like a full labor strike. Yep. that you know, ended up rippling throughout the entire
league.
The Bucks
stopped an NBA game from occurring. That does not happen without natural disasters.
They stopped the playoffs from happening for an entire day. And, like, all of that was, like, on the Bucks. And again, if you ask any of those players on that Milwaukee team, there's no excuses. Like, they lost. Like, right. the Heat beat them. But when you look at the season before them reaching the Eastern Conference Finals, like you said, and this most recent season, obviously, that ends in a title, like, and also, I mean, if you want to look forward, what team has an answer for Giannis?
Nobody. And I think the other thing, you know, we were talking about the luxury tax earlier and kind of what it means for the Bucks. And, you know, you said that ownership was willing to do it. And I think, obviously, there's going to be a conversation about, hey, you didn't keep P.J. Tucker, so you didn't go deeper into the luxury tax. But the Bucks are still in the luxury tax. And they're in the luxury tax because they signed a young core that is really freaking good. They have Giannis at 26. They have Chris and Drew both up over 30, but not like late 30s like Lakers.
And all three of those guys
are you really coughing?
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing? All three of those guys are under contract through 24, I believe.
That is correct.
And Mark Lazary said this on the Tampering Podcast. The World Championship Bucks are probably not going to make money, if you look at it from a yearly standpoint, until they get to the playoffs. When you go into the luxury tax, that is the risk you take. And imagine those teams, you know, Eric and Pratik, that go into the luxury tax and don't make the playoffs.
Right.
That's bad. That is bad business. But they have faith in this team that they are going to go not only to the first round, not only to the second round, but be in the conversation. And as business owners, they are going to make money then. But right now, they're shelling out a lot of cash to run this thing back. And I think Bucks fans have to appreciate that. And they always don't, because they look at them as multi-million dollar owners that just happen to be from New York. But what they've done for this city and this team also needs to be continued to recognize, because if not, we could be cheering for the Seattle Supersonics again. Right. And that would be really hard for Wisconsin people.
Yeah, we are live at Summerfest. Come check us out. We broadcast live from the Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone. This is a special Bucks show from Summerfest. Eric Name of the Athletic, Nolan Murphy. I'm Pratik Patel. You can come hang out with our WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee Street teams as you pass by. We've seen plenty of fans walk by wearing their championship Bucks gear. We've got great bags, games, awesome prizes, plus a chance to win some Brewer tickets at our 1017 The Truth tent that's like down by the Southgate. We're giving away tickets literally every day.
What a deal.
You could go down there, spin a wheel for free, and win Charlie Wilson tickets. And they're just there. We're just giving them out.
So because I'm on this, I'm not technically eligible anymore.
No.
So I can't.
You were not.
Okay.
You were not. Yeah. When I say you, I mean the...
The collective you.
Yes.
Got
yes.
Not me.
As in not you or Nolan.
The
yes.
Public, Eric.
Because I would happily do that.
It's always great to be out here. We do want to say thank you to Summerfest for having us. And again, here... This weekend, next weekend, and the weekend after. Plenty of shows coming up. Again, I've been here 3 of the 4 days so far, and, you know, maybe I do try and fill out the full punch card and get, like, a free sandwich or something. But we, and speaking of which, Major Goolsby's, a yearly tradition whenever we are at Summerfest.
A tradition like no other.
Like, truly like no other. We will be getting, our street team's here. Evans, what time are we getting food? Is it 2:30 that we're thinking? Right when we're off the air, we're going to be getting Major Goolsby's.
Wow. Eric and I are grabbing a beer when we're off the air. I'll tell you that.
So. Well, I'm going to be helping out the street team for a little bit, so I'm just going to be crushing some Goolsby's. Yep, Major Goolsby's will be filling us up as soon as we are off the air, which, again, is 2 o'clock. We are live till 2 from the Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone. A special Bucks show from Summerfest continues next on ESPN Milwaukee, WisconsinOnDemand.com, and the Wisconsin On Demand app.
This is a special Summerfest Bucks show on 94.5 ESPN, live from the Gruber Law Offices Sports Zone.
in the lane. Holiday rips it away. 16 seconds to go to Giannis. Slam it! How about that?
These washed up drugs couldn't hold me down. Alrighty, welcome back in to a special Buck Show live from Summerfest. Nolan Murphy, Pratik Patel, and the Athletics' Eric Name with you until 2 p.m. Make sure to come check us out as we broadcast live from the Gruber Law Office's Sports Zone all Summerfest long. 21 pilots coming up later this afternoon and evening from the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. We have seen so much Bucks gear walk past us at Summerfest. We are still celebrating the Milwaukee Bucks championship. It's a beautiful day here down on the lakefront at Summerfest, and we are thrilled to be here. And in the first hour of this show, we kind of looked back and highlighted how amazing it was that the Milwaukee Bucks are world champions. We now look ahead. A lot of over-unders have come out, Eric and Pratik.
Okay.
That's where I want to go right now. As the gambler I am.
That sounds right.
You know, when you look at the odds, do you like the odds the Bucks have, first of all, to win the NBA Eastern Conference Central Division? I mean, that's a no-brainer in my opinion. That's free money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just,
at this point, like, they needed a meaningless game against the Bulls at the end of last season to not go perfect against the Central. Like, they were going to go perfect. And this is how serious the Bucks took that game. Brook Lopez opened up an SUV courtside and took a look inside during the game. The game was going on, and Brook Lopez decided, I'm not needed on the bench anymore. I'm going to go check out what the deal is.
He just started checking the doors
on this SUV, and it wasn't locked, so he just went in and took a look and said, hey, guys, maybe you can come check it out. Like, that's what we're talking about. So, Central Division, I mean, there's a lot of changes. The Bulls are much improved. The Pacers have a chance to be good again with a new coach in town in Rick Carlisle. Like, there's reason to believe in the Central, but even with all of that, even with Cade Cunningham going over to the Detroit Pistons, there's just not enough against the Bucks.
And so let's put the Central Division aside. And we talk about not putting enough respect in the Bucks name right now. Right now, in various sports books, the Brooklyn Nets are minus 125 to win the Eastern Conference. And the reigning NBA champions, the Milwaukee Bucks, are plus 425. So the Nets are the favorites right now.
Sounds like good value to me.
To win the Eastern Conference.
I mean, I think if you're looking at value bets, betting on the Bucks, not a bad idea.
No.
Like, there's no value in betting the Nets minus 125.
None.
There's none. Like, it just doesn't make any sense because there is a chance that they lose because the Bucks did beat them last year. Like, I just don't know how you could look at any of the numbers in the Eastern Conference and think Nets minus 125 is the way to go.
I'd have to go back and look, but the last time a reigning NBA champion that returned most of their core roster was not a favorite in their own conference to go back. And that just shows you nationally and how the public feels about the Brooklyn Nets, that they maybe felt like the Milwaukee Bucks getting through the Brooklyn Nets in the Eastern semifinals and then getting past the Hawks in the conference finals and then winning the NBA finals over the Suns was a fluke.
And, I mean, one thing that doesn't really come up because we, I don't know what predictive models are out there, but the Bucks might be better next year. And it doesn't really have anything to do with, like, personnel changes or who's, like, on paper, but, like, I don't know what Giannis looks like next year. He's already, like, a world destroyer, and he has, like, very clear flaws in his game. He gets free throw shooting up to, like, 75. That's like an extra 8 points a game on some nights.
Sure
like,
is.
What are you doing with that? How do you stop that?
And also, I mean, this is not something that Giannis like spent a lot of time talking about this past year, but he knew he couldn't win an MVP this year.
Right.
he was 100% sure of it. He knew. And the voters showed that, right? Like,
yeah.
Despite him having similar numbers to what he had
like,
last
hey, we're going to put him fifth on the ballot. Like, he's like, fine.
We're not going to take you all the way off the ballot, but right. we're not going to give you any first-place votes. He knows he can win an MVP again.
Those are all the way back on the table
and
now.
He has the fourth-best odds. So right now, Giannis to win the MVP plus 800, the only three players ahead of him, Kevin Durant plus 700, tied with Joel Embiid plus 700, and then Luka Doncic at plus 400. I think it's Luka's MVP to lose because the NBA MVP, as we've seen in recent years, is a narrative award. It is who is the up-and-coming, and this dates back to Derrick Rose getting an MVP over LeBron.
Wasn't Luka
plus 400 last year?
I believe he was the favorite when the season started.
So I think this is Luka's to lose.
I think it's possible, but also I've seen Jason Kidd coach a basketball team before.
You didn't love that experience, Eric?
And I mean, I think it's real possible that team doesn't win more than 45 games.
Well,
and this is something that if you go back to the early years of Giannis, there's the year, I think it's his fourth season in the NBA, he leads the Bucks in every statistical category.
Right.
The next year I ask him, hey, that is a season that should have got you top five in MVP voting. Why do you think that disconnect happened or whatever? And he's like, Eric, you got to win. Like, you don't win the MVP unless you win 50 games. No one's going to give the MVP unless you win 50 games. And the only outlier there is Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double and winning, I think, 46 games that year.
And leading the lead in scoring.
So, Luka Doncic, if you want to do this with 45 wins, which is very realistic for where this Dallas Mavericks team could be with a new coach trying to figure some things out, you better be far and away the best player in the world. You better have numbers so insane that no one can deny you, and I don't know if that's going to be the case, because you know who else is going to be putting up numbers? Giannis. You know who else is going to be putting up numbers? Kevin Durant. You know who else is going to be putting up numbers? Joel Embiid. So I understand that. I agree with you. It is a narrative award. That is something that occurs, but it's going to be real tough to win enough games to get it done.
Well, so for the Giannis side of that, I mean, at last check, I think the Bucks win total is 54.5.
Yeah, depending where you look, 54.5, 53.5,
and they're behind,
fully achievable.
And they're behind that's the second highest total in the league behind the Nets, who were at 56.5, where I looked yesterday.
Correct.
Or the day before. So I guess the question is, and we've talked about this in the past with Giannis, because there's just like a baseline of how
insanity.
Little you can
yeah.
try. But how hard are they going to go in the regular season? Like, do you think that the one seed is going to be like a priority?
They did it this year without being the one seed. So
right.
They don't need that anymore. But I do think there will be – I just think the idea that Giannis knows he can win an MVP again means there's no pulling back. There's no, you know, trying to just get through the regular season. He doesn't have that in him. He has to play hard every night. That's just who he is, and that's going to happen again this season.
Well, especially when you think about the MVP as a narrative award. I mean, the narrative is created by the voters, and as we've mentioned many times, because Eric is here, media starts with me, and if you're a voter who chose not to, you know, give Giannis the credit he was probably due last year, and I don't necessarily blame voters for not giving Giannis an MVP last year, because I understand that's how it works. But
also, the Bucks weren't the one seed. So
right,
like,
exactly.
It's
exactly.
Totally fine not to.
And it's not like Jokic wasn't like completely deserving, but if you were one of the voters who said, there's not a chance in hell, doesn't matter what happens, Giannis is not winning any MVP this year. If you were one of those voters who said that, and your reasoning is because he hasn't done it in the playoffs and he hasn't won a ring, now he did it. He rewarded you for your actions. What's stopping you from then rewarding him for his? Because he then fulfilled the prophecy that you created for him.
Absolutely. And like I said, I've always told people this. Giannis is viewed as innocent, naive. Everyone thinks of God Bless America, smoothies, corn dogs, whatever, right? Like,
right.
That's the idea. No one understands legacy better than Giannis. This dude has understood that from the moment he got in the league. There's a reason why he re-signed in Milwaukee, and there's a reason why he knew a championship in Milwaukee meant more than him winning a championship anywhere else. That dude understands legacy. That dude understands his potential place in history. So if you don't think he is going, as hard as humanly possible for an MVP this year, you are out of your mind.
Well, and, there's the video that, you know, gets circulated anytime Giannis does something cool, but him showing up with his family on day one and looking at, what's hanging in the rafters and him saying, you know, he's this, gangly, what looks like an 8-year-old.
Right.
And he's just, hey, you know, that could be me up there one day. Like, that's going to be me. Like, he has understood that aspect of it forever. And all these years he spent in Milwaukee, he's had to have learned now over time, what it means in a small market versus, you know, getting something done in an L.A. or a Chicago or a New York. Like, there's just a difference. And he's fully aware of that.
Giannis's appreciation for history for a foreign player, I think, is second to none. I mean, Dirk understood he needed to get a title, and especially at his point in his NBA career, it was, you know, if not now, probably never for that Dallas Mavericks team that took down the Miami Heat. Giannis is going to be, barring injury, the greatest foreign basketball player, the greatest international basketball player of all time. The only person he has left in his sights is Hakeem Olajuwon. And he is, if you're talking, Eric, top 10, as you mentioned, ever, top 10 ever NBA players in history, Hakeem Olajuwon is in his sights. He is locked in on passing him and becoming the greatest international basketball player of all time.
I mean, it's like Hakeem and Dirk, and, you know, there are a couple other guys you could, like, talk about.
It's
but
those two.
It's those two.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, those Giannis MVP odds are incredible, and it's something to look out for, because if I look at Bucks' 21-22 season goals, Giannis is an MVP. That might be the thing to do when he goes out, Eric, and averages 38-12, and maybe goes for a triple-double. It'll be fun to see.
I'm not much of a degenerate, but I do know that parlays tend to make the money total bigger. There's some interesting numbers for the Bucks to parlay. Like, if you're going to go Giannis MVP odds along with wins, along with an NL or with a Central Division,
that's minus 1,000, by the way. So you're really, yeah, but still,
but you throw it in, you give yourself another one. Like, there's it for the degenerates out there. There's interesting things with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Nolan Murphy, Pratik Patel, and the Athletics' Eric Name with you until 2 o'clock right here on ESPN Milwaukee. When we come back, we will wrap up our personal celebration of the 2021 Milwaukee Bucks as world champions next.
A 50-point game. That's the stuff of legend. 105-98.
That's a radio call capping off what was a magical, magical summer for the Milwaukee Bucks and the city of Milwaukee, the state of Wisconsin. We've been talking about it for 2 hours now. We're wrapping up here a special Bucks show from Summerfest. I'm Pratik Patel, Eric Name of the Athletic, Nolan Murphy here as well. We've got you for a couple more minutes and want to wrap up here by just talking about what our expectations are for this season. I think all of us are kind of in the same boat as, like, all right, it's title or bust, because you're just coming off of one. Either you repeat or it was a disappointment, but what are you expecting to see from the Bucks this season that maybe we haven't seen in the last couple of years?
I think a Giannis MVP. I think the last segment talked me into it. Like, this is something I've felt for, you know, a long time, right? That he's always going to be in the conversation. Giannis is always going to be a part of that. But he needed to win a ring, and he won one. And now, to me, the floodgates open back up. People will not feel guilty about voting for him because he doesn't have playoff success. He showed everyone all the things that he can do. So I'm going to go Giannis MVP. That is an expectation for me this season.
And Nolan, for you?
This is our show. This is a special Bucks show from Summerfest, so we can make our own rules. My expectation for the Bucks, and this is for Giannis, but they can celebrate it as a team, is Giannis will win two championships this year, and the second one will be as a minority owner of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Wow. Ooh, I like it.
Wow.
I like that a lot.
I wasn't sure where you were going when you said we were making up our own rules, and I had no idea what was happening. But
the Milwaukee Brewers,
I'm digging it,
will win the World Series, which, if you thought the Bucks, it was crazy in this city, statewide it'll be pandemonium.
Yeah.
If the Milwaukee Brewers not only go to the World Series but win it, and you know who's getting a ring? Giannis, as a minority owner of the Milwaukee Brewers. What is yours, Pratik?
I had just talked, I guess, you know, kind of cut my legs out a little bit, because this isn't necessarily just a Bucks prediction, but I had been talking to a couple teammates the last couple days and over the last week, and I've talked myself into the trifecta. Like, I think it's happening.
Woo!
I'm all in on it.
Well, I'm always all in on the Packers winning the Super Bowl.
Yes,
every
I understand.
Year.
I understand. I'm not a fan
my
of
life,
any of these teams.
Super Bowl or bust, all 30 years.
I'm not a fan of any of these teams, so it's a little different for me, but I do think that even if it doesn't, like, it's so cool that you can have all of your teams contending at the same time. It's such a cool experience. And again, we are live at Summerfest from the Gruber Law Office Sports Zone this weekend, next weekend, weekend after. Come check out Summerfest, summerfest.com. See the full lineup. 21 Pilots tonight, as Nolan informed me earlier, not 21 Savage. 21 Pilots tonight. Plenty of shows all throughout the month, basically. Again, that is Eric Name of The Athletic. I'm Pratik Patel, Nolan Murphy. Coming up after this, Well, whenever the Badgers game ends. Is it still 7-7? Are we looking at a tie game right
now
still?
It is now Wisconsin 10, Penn State 7, 13:36 left in the fourth quarter.
A real barn burner.
So most of the fourth quarter left in that Wisconsin-Penn State game. But as soon as that ends, tune back in to ESPN Milwaukee, 94.5 ESPN, and WisconsinOnDemand.com, Wisconsin On Demand app. You can stream live. That'll be the Wisconsin College Game Day post game right here with Alex Stroff and Monty Ball. And they will have you for, that goes for 2 hours, I believe, after the game ends?
It's a show, man. And honestly, this season is weird. I don't like Big Ten games at the start of a season. But if the Badgers pull it off, this is a huge win for them to get the season going.
And if they pull it off, I mean, this is the first time they've hosted a ranked team to open a season in like however many years.
If they win this afternoon, 26 straight games at Camp Randall, they have won.
Again, a special Buck show from Summerfest. If you miss this or miss any of the shows on ESPN Wisconsin, you can listen back on demand. WisconsinOnDemand.com, the Wisconsin On Demand app. Again, after that Badgers game ends, tune back in to 94.5 ESPN for Wisconsin College Game Day postgame right here with Alex Stroff and Monty Ball.